Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is that gospel reading from Luke chapter 8, which Mr. Denning was just sharing with the children. Jesus confronts this man. Really, he confronts the demons that are living inside this man, tormenting this man, and by extension, tormenting the whole village surrounding this man. And of course, when we read a passage like this, it reminds us that Jesus is willing to go to some of the most scary, most dangerous, most wicked and evil places in the world. Whether we're talking about the confrontation of thousands of demons all at once, or even talking about his own cross, going those places so that we could be saved from our sin. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, some people really love scary things, scary stories, scary movies. There's no denying how popular some scary movies and horror films have been. Just this weekend, they released a reboot of that famous scary movie, Child's Play. You know, that story of Chucky the doll that has been terrorizing us since the late 80s. There's a new movie out starring Chucky. You know, these things happen. People seem to really love this stuff. And I say some people enjoy scary movies on purpose, because I know that not everybody loves scary movies. I'm not really one who loves scary movies personally. I don't really understand why there's people who love being frightened so much that they're willing to pay money to be scared. I just don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. I've never really been a big haunted house guy or anything like that. My parents are here visiting this week, and they can attest to this. I was a big scaredy cat as a child. It took me years to be able to even just be in the room when the Wicked Witch of the West would show up in The Wizard of Oz. My mom took me to see The Lion King in the theater once. She had to drag me out kicking and screaming during the stampede scene, okay? So horror movies are not really my thing. But and maybe some of you are like me, but I get it. There's a lot of people out there who really like this stuff. And there are philosophers and psychologists who have been trying to figure this out for years. There's a philosopher in particular by the name of Noel Carroll, who 25 years ago wrote about what he called the horror paradox. And what that means is trying to figure out how, you know, horror films are intended to evoke certain negative emotions within us. Fear, disgust, these kinds of things, these kinds of negative emotions that normally in our everyday lives we would try to avoid at all costs, but for some reason when you're sitting there watching a movie, those negative emotions create a positive experience for some people, and that's what he would call the horror paradox. How come something positive can come out of something so negative? And really, essentially, his research led him to conclude that horror films are kind of like things like bungee jumping or things like roller coasters. When you experience that fear, but it's within a safe, controlled environment, a lot of times the adrenaline that comes to the surface because of your fear can actually make you feel good instead of feeling bad because of the fear. You end up feeling good instead. And so even though that might not be what you would expect necessarily, that's what we would call the horror paradox. Now, I'm sure you've noticed that there are plenty of stories within Scripture that are kind of scary. You know, as you've read the Bible, you've probably noticed that God is not very squeamish about the way he describes through the human beings that he inspired to write down these accounts of the things that happened to God's people throughout the years and throughout history. God is not very squeamish about the details. I mean, it's all out there, and there's a lot of things that are kind of scary. I can't tell you how many times I've been reading, you know, certain passages of Scripture saying, you know, I'm really, really glad that they never decided to make a movie out of this one, because somebody would expect me as a pastor to go and see that movie, and I just don't want to deal with that. You know, all the different violent things that you see, all the creepiness that comes up in different parts of Scripture. And can you imagine what it would be like if they made a movie out of today's gospel reading? Can you imagine the kind of special effects they would use to try to get the point across that thousands of demons are dwelling within this man? I mean, it would be pretty crazy. I think it'd be a pretty creepy movie, personally. But, you know, we have this scene where Jesus and his disciples appear on the east side, the southeast side of the Sea of Galilee, which is where all of the Gentiles lived. It's like the other side of the sea. And the reason why they ended up there is because earlier in the day, this was also where they had the calming of the storm. It's all happening one after the other in the Gospel of Luke. And so if the disciples weren't already scared enough by that whole thing, now they show up on the shore where the Gerasenes live. And they end up among the tombs, Luke tells us, right? So we have the perfect scene for another spooky, scary story, right there on the shore by the tombs. And they're confronted by this crazy demon-possessed man who is naked and screaming at them. And you can just imagine, he's probably got cuts and scrapes and scars all over him from throwing his body up against the rocks and being chained and shackled and busting through those chains, like Luke tells us. I mean, this would have been a pretty creepy scene. And he sees Jesus and he shrieks, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" And it's interesting, isn't it? Kind of ironic, actually. The disciples themselves, at this point, had not yet figured that out about Jesus. They didn't really know who Jesus really was, but the demons knew. The demons knew exactly who Jesus was, and they were terrified. They were terrified of Jesus, terrified of God's power, terrified that he was going to cast them into the abyss of hell where they would be tortured. And so the demons beg Jesus, "Send them into the nearby herd of pigs." Remember, this is Gentile country, right? And so even though pigs were an unclean animal among the Jews, in Gentile country, there were herds of pigs nearby. There were pig farmers, pork farmers, if you will. They're just standing nearby, and here's all these pigs. The demons say, "Cast us into these pigs instead." And Jesus allows it. Now, can you imagine what this scene would be like? One by one, these demons fly out of this man, enter into the pigs. There's a whole bunch of squealing. All of the bacon tumbles down into the lake. Pretty scary stuff, honestly. Who would want to lose that much bacon? And this is where the herdsmen get scared, by the way, right? The herdsmen, the pig farmers, they're watching all of their livestock destroy themselves, falling down into the lake. And so they run away. They tell everybody what had happened. And all of the people are stirred up. They come out. They see Jesus. They see this man who was famous in that area for being crazy and demon-possessed. He's just sitting there wearing clothes and in his right mind again. They see the floating corpses of all of those pigs down in the lake. And that's when verse 37 tells us that they were seized with great fear. So much fear, in fact, that they demand Jesus to depart from them. It's kind of interesting if you really stop and think about it. These Gerasene men and women, I mean, they had sort of just gotten used to their being the demons, the demon-possessed man, just outside of their village. They had gotten used to this. They were okay with it, you know, after a while. They had just been, you know, living amongst this demon possession going on in their area. And that's not the thing that scared them, ultimately. It was Jesus who scared them. It was Jesus who frightened them. Jesus is the one that they asked to go and leave them alone. I would call this a type of the horror paradox right here. Because if you think about it, these Gerasenes, you know, they're living in their village. They probably consider this to be a somewhat safe and controlled environment. Even though they literally have thousands of demons just outside their door, they probably consider this a safe, controlled environment. And when Jesus shows up and Jesus heals this man, that's when the safety and security melts away for them. That's when what scared them wasn't the evil, but the good. Not the unholy, but the holy. They were comfortable, relatively, around the demons. They were uncomfortable around God. And essentially, that's really what happens with sinful human beings, right? We are terrified in the presence of a holy, righteous God in our sinful nature. I think the scariest thing about all of this is that you and I can relate to what the Gerasenes felt, what the Gerasenes thought. We might not see the same kind of demon possession all around us today, or at least if we do see it, we might not recognize it the same way that they did back then, but we certainly do see evil. We see lots of evil all around us, and one of the many problems that you and I face in this world is that there is a tendency for us to get used to it, to accept the evil that's all around us, to just kind of get comfortable with evil. There's so much of it that we become desensitized to it all. William Bennett was the name of the U.S. Secretary of Education during President Reagan's administration, and there's a really great quote from him. He wrote this, and remember, this is 30 years ago. "There was a time when society showed outrage at people's misconduct, but no more. We accept the flaws of others so easily that we accept their misconduct without hesitation. It's not even that we're forgiving these people for doing wrong. We're simply excusing their behavior altogether. We have forgotten how to blush. We have no shame." So what happens when people feel no shame? What happens when we feel no shame? Do we just sort of get comfortable with our sin? Does it even bother us that we constantly and consistently go against the will of our Creator, even though we know better? Do we even feel a twinge of that terror that the demons felt? Because we have the same sin that makes us all well-deserving of being cast into the abyss, just like the demons. Does that even faze us at all? It's pretty scary stuff when you start thinking about it that way. There's only one thing that can take that scary story and make it not so scary anymore, and that is the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Only the horror of the cross, where Jesus experienced shame and suffering that was so gory, so grotesque that people had to look away in fear. Only that, worse than any horror movie, only that can truly bring us true comfort and true contentment. Jesus takes all of our shame, all of our guilt away. He gives us forgiveness. He gives us righteousness. He makes it so that we would never have to be scared of God or be frightened in His presence ever again. And you know, when you think about it, it doesn't really make sense to us. It doesn't make sense that Jesus should have to die in order to save our lives. It's not like we did anything to deserve it. It's not like we did anything to earn it. But this, again, is what you would call a paradox. The fact that Jesus willingly subjects himself to all kinds of pain and suffering, to the scariest things this world has to offer. And it's not because Jesus is just looking for a rush of adrenaline, right? It's not just scary entertainment in a safe place. This isn't child's play. Jesus' crucifixion was and is real. But even more important than that, his resurrection is real. And his resurrection makes his victory over death the greatest reality for us, for you and me, and everyone who believes in him and calls upon his name. We have been healed by his word. We have been cleansed in baptism. We have been put in our right minds again, and we sit at Jesus' feet just like the man in this text. Our lives have been changed. So we can't go back to the tombs. We can't go back to the things that have terrorized us and possessed us and have chained us. Instead, we dwell where it is truly safe to dwell, where it is secure for us to dwell, where God has given us a place to dwell through faith in Him, so that no matter what we face, sickness, suffering, pain, loss, even the devil himself, we know that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill, they shall not overpower us. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.